What's up, everybody? Welcome back into another episode of Cult Film Cafe Does Christmas. That is right. It is Cult Film Cafe's counting down of the 24 days to Christmas. And of course, it is me, Jonathan, one of your hosts. And as always, I am joined by my partner in crime, Kenzie.
Hello there again.
So on this episode, it is an absolute belter. I've been waiting to say that during this run of films. It is 2019's animated Netflix Christmas film, Klaus, written and directed by Sergio Pablos.
Hello? Jesper Johansson, postman. Mr. Klaus, you have a gift. You were meant for making toys. So I figured if you donate your old toys, I'll deliver them for free.
Tonight, I go with you.
There's no need for you to come with me, really. Tonight, then.
Our cousin told us if we write a letter to Mr. Klaus, he'll make us a toy.
Dear Mr. Klaus.
Dear Mr. Klaus.
Shall we then?
Yep.
Mr. Klaus is the coolest.
Klaus? What about me? Ow! What the?
Loser!
Oh, yeah? Well, if I'm a loser, then you're too far. You're gone.
Hey, what do you guys think you're doing? This is Smearensburg, the unhappiest place on Earth. And you two can't change that.
The postman and toy maker are brainwashing everyone!
We need to show people that a true selfless act always sparks another.
Hi! What's happening right now?
Oh no.
Holy mother!
What happened?
Not a word. You just sit there. Be all magical and awesome.
Jesper, we're doing it. Let's go.
Oh, oh, oh. Wait, wait, wait. Time out. Really? That's how you laugh? Come on, we're running out of time. Those kids are counting on us.
If we don't stop them tonight, this town will never be the same.
Destroy those toys.
Eat our snow, you... They're not attached. Why aren't they attached? I thought they were attached. I would never in a million years have done what I just did if I didn't think these were attached. Always had high
hopes. So yeah, absolutely loving the fact that we've finally got a film which I absolutely adore.
Why did we choose this film again?
Because I've been wanting to watch it since it came out, and I said, I'm not just going to watch a Christmas film in June. Do you know what I mean? So I've kind of, do you know what? It kind of went under the radar.
I've never heard of this.
Well, that's the thing with Netflix. It's like you either get these big, humongous vehicles with big stars that everybody hears about, a la Red Notice, The Grey Man, fucking Triple Frontier, whatever other ones. And then you actually get the ones that are the good cinema, the ones that get Oscar buzz, you know, things like Marriage Story or this or The Irishman. I suppose The Irishman had a lot of buzz because of who it was and people who was involved. But yeah, this was fucking superb, superb film. And I'm gutted to find out that this never won the Academy Award for Best Animated Feature. Which is a load of bullshit, because it lost to Toy Story 4, which is a load of trash, man. Like, Toy Story's must have won it at least once before, if not twice, or all three times for the last three films. Why not give it to another film?
Like, I've not seen Toy Story 4, but I know for a fact a lot of people did really like Toy Story 4, but it's just... come on. We've seen it. Four films that need the award? No. And to be honest, if it didn't get it for three, I think three probably, out of all the Toy Story films, I think three should have probably been the one to win the awards anyway. That's just that's irrelevant anyway. But like, yeah. So yeah, I had never heard of this film. When we were making the list for the films, I looked in it and I was scrolling through them because we're going in chronological order of how we made the list this time around, instead of just kind of doing random ones like we've done with the Halloween one. And I was scrolling through, I was like, all right, Claws. I'm like, what is that? And I looked up and I was like, oh, it's like an animated film. I'm like, all right, I don't know if I'm going to like this very much. So I was like, all right, it's time to watch it. Let's stick it on. And I was like, okay, the animation is absolutely fucking amazing. Let's see if the good film's good. And if, yeah, no, it really is. This film's fantastic. Like, my, like, I watched it like, wow, this is so good. And I was thinking, Jonathan must think the same here, because this film was brilliant. Like, honestly, the animation alone is some of the best animation I've seen in the last like 5 years. It looks amazing. And I'm not usually one that bothered about animation, to be honest, but no, I gotta give this film credit. It looks amazing. All the voice acting in this film was great. J.K. Simmons as Claws was so good, and I didn't recognize it was him. I knew the voice, so I was like, oh, I know that voice, who is that? And after the film ended, I realized it was. I thought I knew who the postman was in this film. It turns out I didn't. It made me think of Cusco from like The Emperor's New Groove, but that's David Spade, and it's not David Spade. But yeah, that's not. I don't even know if I could really say a bad thing about this film, to be honest. This film is so good.
Yeah, it's an absolutely fantastic film. I love this, and I know that Kenzie isn't familiar with the lead voice of the postman. Jesper. But it's Jason Schwartzman. Big fan of Jason Schwartzman. Anybody who is a fan of Wes Anderson will know him. Frequent collaborator with Wes Anderson. He's in a countless Wes Anderson films. Not only that, he is also a member of the Coppola family.
Oh.
Yeah. His mother's Talia Shire, who is Francis Ford's sister. So yeah, Francis Ford Coppola is his uncle. So yeah, that family's fucking incredible, man. The amount of people that have came out of this is unreal. But yeah. But Jason Schwartzman is in Fargo as well, by the way.
Was he? Oh yeah, I don't remember.
It was in the fourth season of Fargo.
Oh, I've not. That's the season I haven't seen yet. I really should watch that.
He's part of the main cast apparently as well. So you'll recognize when you watch season four, you'll be like, oh yeah, that's the guy that voiced Jesper from Claws. He plays a guy called Yosto Fada in Fargo season four. For any of you Fargo fans out there. But no, I would definitely say that the most of the audience will know him from his adaptations with the one and only Mr. Wes Anderson, who I absolutely adore. I love Wes Anderson as a filmmaker. And Jason Schwartzman is really good in a number of those movies also. And yeah, I was trying to work out who the voice is without Googling it or checking the Wikipedia or the IMDb. Because he sounds a lot like somebody, and I was trying to work out who it was when I can't remember now, because it's been like hours since watching the film.
Who's that?
Jason Schwartzman.
He sounded like
somebody, and I was like, I think it's this person, and then I searched and I was like, oh no, it's right, okay.
It really sounded like Cusco to me. It really did. Like, it's been a long time since I've watched like The Emperor's New Groove or the Emperor's New School show, but it really sounded like Cusco to me. But yeah.
Big J.K. Simmons. I love J.K.
Simmons, man. Everyone loves J.K. Simmons. It's
well,
JK
he's
Simmons.
Got like, yeah, I was waiting to see like who he would voice, because I knew he was a voice in it, but I didn't know who it was going to be. And he voices the main man. Not got a lot of dialogue, Big Claws in the movie, I must say. It's a man of few words, but impactful nonetheless. The dimensions of the character are a bit strange, though. Like he's a bit gigantic. But see, jump to the end of the film. See at the end of the film where Jesper's dad's came to pick him up because he's hit the quota of letters.
Yes.
And Claus turns around. Like the dimensions of his head don't fit the size of his body. It's fine when he's front on because he's got a massive beard. It's like when he turns round and he doesn't have that massive beard dangling down. It just
like a tiny head.
It's like a tiny wee pea head on a massive body. Like, and I mean a massive body. Like, he's ginormous. But this is just really quirky, though, man. It's like a Christmas film about Claus, and it's its own weird thing because it's not until the end of the film where he actually becomes Santa.
Yeah, it's
because he's just a toy maker.
Yeah, this film is a Christmas origin story.
Aye, weirdly enough, you don't get them at all.
Yeah, but actually, weirdly enough, I saw one the other day because my mum was watching it. It's a film called A Boy Called Christmas, which
got like Freddie Highmore or somebody in it.
I don't really know who the cast were in it. I didn't really recognize anyone in it, but my mum was watching it the other day. She quite enjoyed it. And it's kind of the same thing. Christmas wasn't a thing. And then it's a thing with elf culture. Or so. It's a bit of a weird film. But the whole thing is, like some kind of leader guy is trying to look for a magical, something magical. And people find elves and stuff like that. And they're trying to bring that back. And pretty much, that's boy called Christmas. He's not actually called Christmas, but his mum used to always call him Christmas or something. He helps the elf community or whatnot, and then he finds a reindeer. I think it's Blitzen or something like that, and he pretty much starts Christmas as the whole thing. It's like an origin story for Christmas. It seemed alright, but I'd probably say it's not going to be as good as this film. I wasn't really paying attention to it though, but that's another kind of Christmas origin story film, so it's kind of funny. I've seen two of them like quite close to each other. But yeah, it's literally a Christmas origin story, and I really like it. I don't know how he came up with this. It's quite bizarre. Jesper, like a spoiled son of a rich family who works in the postal.
Aye, but like, why is like the postal service like the military?
Yeah, that's weird, eh?
Just like you get boot camp and shit to become a postman.
I don't know. I guess it's just how it worked. It was weird, but you don't spend a lot of time there. It's straight out like, oh no, you think you're getting an easy pass? Nah, sending you to like the worst place ever, where people just fight each other.
No, he went to the island town of Schmierensburg. What a name!
Schmierensburg, yeah, and they're just. He goes there, rings up the ship guy, tells him to ring the bell to call everyone, which is actually the fight bell, which alerts everyone to each of these two factions. I don't know how they're split, but they've got it's like two different families almost. I don't know exactly what it is. And the ferryman,
Morgan's, voiced by the late Norm Macdonald, stand-up comedian. People that have watched this or haven't, and maybe will watch it based on what we say about it, and maybe pick up who it is. I suppose there's maybe one other voice that people will recognise. I mean, I certainly did as a fan of the Cusacks. It is the sister this time. It's Joan, who's the Crumb clan matriarch. See the wee old woman.
All right.
That's Joan Cusack. But yeah, I'm baffled. Like I don't know how he came up with it, and I'm glad he did, and I'm glad that there's people like Sergio Pablos in the world of cinema coming up with their own sort of unique takes on something that's so universally known. And the thing is most films go a route that's already been done before. Whereas he went, no, I'm just going to kind of subvert it and kind of build it to the sort of becoming of the miracle or the entity that is Santa Claus. Because, yeah, Claus is a real person in this. He has had a real life. We get to see what he was. I mean, wax and lyrical. I mean, animation style. Like Kenzie's already brought that up, man. It's incredible. Netflix. I don't know how Netflix got this so right. I mean, it wasn't maybe them. Like they just maybe put the money in, but the film was made for Netflix. But yeah. Super movie. I'm trying to think of other things to say. Do we do spoilers? I suppose we can spoil it. It's been out since 2019.
Go for it.
So yeah, I felt like we've spoken about Jesper. So he turns up at Smeerensburg. Obviously, in the world that he lives in knows what it is and kind of what it's like. It feels like it's its own place, you know. When he arrives, it's quite a quaint, cool looking kind of. Do you know what it reminds me of? It's kind of like a modern take on what you would imagine. Like a Tim Burton stroke sort of Henry Selick animation, if you get me, you know.
Right. Like
Nightmare Before Christmas, James and the Giant Peach, but instead of that style of animation, if you make it this style, but it's kind of got that kind of gothic feel about it, which I really do like. I'm glad it's not Tim Burton, because if it was, it might have made it worse for me, but I can feel the influence somewhat. Maybe I'm just looking into it in my own way. The town's split down the middle, like divided into two family clans. How that leads to more questions than answers, though. If you've got two clans, how is there so many of them? How are they breeding? That's what I want to know.
Breeding with their own clans, I guess. I don't
know. Let's not bring that up.
Well, it's not they're not family.
There's only two names. The Ellingbows and the Crumbs.
Oh fuck!
And then you've got like the teacher woman who wants to leave, but she came, like she went there, like Alva.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really. Let's not deep dive into that. Anyway, he quickly realizes that he's got a task in his hand to try and get mail. And then he quickly discovers a bit in the map in his post office that he's not been to, and it's a big log cabin where he goes up and to investigate and meets the infamous Claus, who later on in the film we realise he's just made a fuck ton of toys over a number of years for his own kids that he was expecting to have with his wife, and it just never ever happened. So he starts by giving this wee guy a toy, because the picture that Jesper's shown him, it looks like he's in a fucking jail cell.
Yeah,
and he's like, I can spread some joy here.
I really like how that whole part of the story works. I think it's done so well. The fact that the kid dropped the drawing, Jesper tried to mail it back to him. His dad came back, so he just ended up running away with the drawing. Figures out about this new cabin, goes there, gets scared off by Claus, drops the thing.
Claus picks it up,
sees it. It's like, all right, take me there. So he has to take him there, and then I think it was such a good way to do it. I think it just worked really well. Most parts of this film do. I particularly liked that part though. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that kind of starts the catalyst, because this wee boy gets a toy, and then he starts playing with his toy, and he has a lot of fun, which obviously gives joy to Claus. So Claus kind of works alongside Jesper. Unbeknownst to Claus, though, there was like an ulterior motive for Jesper, who essentially just wanted to hit his quota and go at the start of the film. But over time, he obviously starts to change. Like most kind of any form of film, there's a character arc, but I'm really bought into this. Like, I really like Jesper's character. I mean, he's a dick at the start. He's a spoiled, self-centered sort of like rich kid, but over time starts to understand like life and you know, not to take things for granted and stuff. And you know, it's really nice, and because it's a Christmas film, it's good. I quite like the arc though. Like it kind of adds something. You know, it's he is just doing it without. But I think like anybody in a situation like that, I think he over time forgets why he's really there, and then it catches up to him and it catches him off guard. And I didn't think he even thought it was going to happen. And then eventually that's where it kind of all changes for him, where all the people that have grown to love him then kind of turn their back on him because of they find out what he's like. And then there's obviously the redemption arc at the end of the film. Like most great sort of fairy tales or stories like that, always have something like that, and it's just really, really good in this. I don't know how you feel about it. I just love this film so, so much.
I just love how everything happens. Like, as the film goes on, tons of stuff about like Christmas kind of come out of it. And I love how they explain it in this film, like the whole thing about bad kids getting coal. I love that. He went down the chimney of the kid that he didn't like. Because like, I'm not giving you a present, and he just chucks some coal in. And then later on explains it by, oh, he knows if you're naughty or nice. And it's so good. It's so good, though.
Yeah.
It really is. It's like, I really liked it. There's other bits like that. It's just as good. Next with the utterly amazing animation that we cannot stop talking about because it's just so good. This film, from head to toe, is a complete passion project, and you can see it.
Oh, 100%.
You can just tell. It's a lot of enjoyment. There's a lot of joy in this film.
And so thought, yeah. even like, at the start of the film, it was like a post cart with a horse, and over time it became a post cart with reindeer, and then eventually it became a sleigh.
Oh, yeah, there's so many. I just remember the part with the reindeers flying from the sky was hilarious.
Yeah,
that was so good. And they're like, oh, he flies from the sky in a sleigh. I like how they include the reindeers. It's so good. It's so good. Please go watch this. Like, please. Like, you'll love it.
There's references to what people already know, but it has its own sort of unique, like Kenzie was saying, origin story of what everybody now believes or, well, now kind of thinks of when you think of Santa Claus, you know. It is really, really great. I mean, I could talk for hours about the film. I find it difficult to really talk about animation because it's not a medium that I'm super familiar with, or like a genre of film that I'm super familiar with. But when it's great, or when I just start watching something and I'm hooked. And this film could be live action. That's how good it is. Like, it really could be. And it would still be the same. It's like, the writers have just written a really compelling story and narrative, and it would work in any medium, you know.
I'm glad it's animated though, because the animation is just that good. Again, I've got to say it again, but I would kind of like to see a live action version, but at the same time, because the animation was done so well in this film, I don't know if I want to at the same time. But yeah, I completely agree with Jonathan. The story's so good. Like, yeah, I want this as the origin for Santa, because it's brilliant.
I said I had a lot of gripes with the ending before we recorded this, but I've now, I think, talked myself into thinking the ending's actually quite good.
Yeah, I remember you bringing that up, but I disagree. I think the end is perfect. I like a lot how it ends. I think it's exactly... I wasn't really sure how the film was going to end. I love how it ended, actually. It makes so much sense to me now that that's the way it ends. Yeah. I was a bit sad at first, but I was like, no, yeah, it's good. It is. It's... Yeah, like, I can't... I genuinely don't even have a complaint for this film. Like, I'm trying to think, but I genuinely don't know.
Nah. Like, I don't have anything to complain about. I mean, it's about 5-10 minutes into this film. Well, as soon as I started watching it, I knew the animation style was for me. And then about 10 minutes in, I was like, right, there's a character in Jesper who I want to know more about. And then it just kind of builds from there. It just kept getting better and better. Before, like I say, before recording, I thought that the end kind of was a bit weak, but now kind of talking it through, I've kind of changed my mind. And I quite like this sort of sentimental ending as well, with sort of Jesper and Alva have kind of, they've managed to meet and have the life that Claus wanted, because they've now got kids. But there's quite this nice thing where Jesper's like on Christmas Eve, and he's sitting down at night, and he kind of has this kind of weird monologue where he's like, but like every year I get to be with my friend like one night, or I don't know what it is exactly he says, but it's kind of something like that.
Okay, so one night a year I get to see my friend again.
That's great. It's I never quite cried at it, but as some people might, it's not like a sad emotion, it's heartwarming.
Yeah, I think that's probably the more word for it.
Anyway, we're rambling on. Sergio Pablos, stand up, take a bow, you are incredible. This is an incredible film, everybody go and watch it. This probably might be the highest rated film of the series of podcasts, possibly, but we'll see. I think we've said enough. I think it's time to jump into the ratings. How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
Do you want to go first? I want you to go first.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
There's a reason why I want you to go first, though, because you've already given a real high score to a film, and I haven't yet, so be interesting to see where you put this.
And I'm really, really struggling where if I should just do it.
Woo! I don't know, is it coming?
I think I've got it, to be honest. I just have zero, like, it's not even like a little, there's no even like little nitpicks with this one. This one's fantastic. No, I'm going to do it. I'm giving this a 5. I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5. It's going to be the first 5 out of 5 for me on the podcast. This film is fantastic. I was not ready for this film. I was not expecting this film. From everything, from the story of this film, it's done so well, and it just works so well, and it's just... When you see parts of like how Christmas came to be, you realise, oh, that's quite a cool way to do it. It's like every single part in the film is like, oh yeah, that's quite cool. That's also quite cool. It's a very heartwarming kind of story. And then on top of that, is it wasn't for the fact that the story was also up, never mind the story being amazing, on top of that, the icing on the cake is that a fucking astounding animation. So good. Then toppled a little, like, nice, like, little, like, flakes and stuff of the voice acting, which is all great as well, especially J.K. Simmons, who is great as Claus, even though he hardly speaks. So, yeah, no, this film is awesome, and I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5. I'd never thought I'd give an animation film that, but no, fuck it, this one deserves it. It's good. It might even be... I don't know. It's one of the best... I don't know. It is definitely one of the best Christmas films. And it's not even set at Christmas for most of the film. But it's the origin of, like, the traditional kind of Christmas Santa and stuff like that. It's brilliant. I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5. I'm sticking with that. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's mad. See, that's the reason I wanted you to go first, because I wanted to see how high you would go, because I know that you gave White Christmas 4.5. So I was like, is he going to give it 5, or is he going to put it in the same ballpark, or, you know, is it a 4? I didn't really know. Like, anything sort of 4 and above is really high. I mean, first 5 for you on the podcast, which is strange. I think I've already given a 5 on the podcast before.
Yeah, Godfather.
I gave the Godfather, well, there's no think, I did give the Godfather 5 out of 5. Now, the question is, do I give it 5 out of 5? This is a hot take. I mean, I'm not a huge animated film fan.
Neither am I.
But, and it might just be because I've watched it, and it's kind of, my bias is fresh. But this could be the best animated film that I've ever seen.
I would not even say, like, well, no, it's genuinely so good. It's not even just us who think this, by the way. If you look at critic scores, like, 95% critic score, no, 95% audience score, 96% critic score. That's, and an 8.1 IMDb.
Flip it round, it's a 95% fresh rating. So that's the
thing. Oh, sorry.
96% right. Audience score. It's not that often you get audience and critic scores being so level. And an IMDb is a bit low. I mean, based on that, the Rotten Tomato score, it should be like a 9 or above. But the 9 club is few and far between on there. I think it's fantastic. I think based on... this is probably my favourite animated film. Objectively. Subjectively, there's maybe nostalgic animated films that I might like as well. But for both, I think this is incredible. And it's so good. And I'm glad that it exists. And I'm glad that I decided to put it on the list. And it's becoming a Christmas staple of mine. I'm going to do it as well. I'm giving it a 5.
Yes.
I have to. Just say it, like, animation-wise as well. Like, you probably look at live-action animation different anyway, but this is definitely up there. If not the best, it's top 5 animated films that I've ever seen. It's so good. I don't really know what more to say. We have fucking both love it. 5 out of 5 for both of us. We might never ever get another film like this in the podcast in any form, any series, anything, you know.
I don't think so.
We might not. Maybe we will. We like different things, so that's strange how.
Yeah, I don't think
really
we'll get another
this.
5 out of 5, or not for a while anyway.
Like
both of us saying it, if you know what I mean.
Do you know what's actually baffling to me as well? Just some of the facts about the film before we wrap up and end the podcast is this film was shopped around before Netflix acquired the rights to it. And people thought it was too risky.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Don't know how. So, yeah. shows you how good Jason Schwartzman. I love him. You don't really recognise him, and I think he's amazing. But apparently he ad-libbed a lot of his lines, which is not really surprising to me because he's a really good actor. And the director, Sergio Pablos, reckons that only about 40% of his dialogue in the final film was actually scripted work. So he had, so 60% of the final dialogue was actually ad-libbed, which is incredible. He was obviously bought into the character, and that's probably what makes this film so good, as it became an embodiment of him. And it's very hard to do that, specifically probably with animation, because you're not appearing visually. So great. The film, Netflix reported the film was viewed nearly 30 million times in its first month on the platform. Imagine that, 30 million people went to see it at the cinema, it would have smashed loads of money.
Yeah.
I just wanted to bring up as well, it had a budget of about $40 million. Now, we spoke about the Christmas Carol, well, A Christmas Carol, Disney's A Christmas Carol, earlier on in the podcast, and that I raved about the animation style in that, and I stand by it. I think that looks spectacular, but the gulf in budget is fucking astronomical. Like, Disney put another $100 million on top of the 40 that this film had into that movie. I prefer this overall. It's a far better film in terms of narrative and story. But they both look fantastic. But yeah. Incredible, incredible film. 5 out of 5 here at the podcast. Don't even need to say it. Each individual's ratings. It is A Cult Film Cafe, 5 out of 5. It is the number one film of the podcast, short life, according to ratings. Don't know
how certified people. Certified corn.
I don't know how people will he'll take to that, but yeah. If you haven't seen it and you have Netflix, fucking watch it ASAP. It's fucking incredible. You will not be disappointed. And if you are, fuck off. That's what I need to say. I don't want to hear it because it's fucking brilliant. Nah, put your comments in a post on the Instagram and we like to hear what other people think about films, but no, it's incredible. So yeah, if you'd like to check out past episodes of the podcast, there's no other 5 out of 5s across the board, but yeah, there is a lot of other really good films that we have spoke about over the 50-something episodes that we've done to date. Check us out on all major podcasting streaming platforms. And if you're wanting to support us on social media, you can do. Just give us a wee follow on Instagram and Twitter. That would be much appreciated. This one has been an absolute pleasure. I fucking love this film. So does Kenzie. So with that being said, it's a goodbye from me.
And it's a goodbye from me.
Fucking amazing film. Watch it. Podcast out.